Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is Wednesday, July 28th, 2021, the New York Giants have begun training camp. They reported yesterday in full, and we have a lot to cover today. We're going to talk about the roster transactions and some housekeeping notes, and then we are going to talk about the five things that the New York Giants do not want to see happen this coming season. But first, this episode is brought to you in part by the Locked On NBA Draft 2021 Spectacular, which is sponsored by Built Bar. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Carolus will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. You can catch it live on YouTube on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. And of course, you can find it wherever you find your podcasts. All right, so let's get to New York Giants training camp. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. We've been waiting for six long weeks for the Giants to start up again, and they finally have. They reported to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center yesterday, and let's get some of the housekeeping stuff out of the way as far as roster moves. Now, last week, the Giants placed receiver Kadarius Toney on the reserve COVID list. Toney has actually come off that list. He was taken off today. He's back in the building. And just a quick note about the COVID list, because the Giants do have a couple of other guys who are on that list now, Blake Martinez and reserve safety Joshua Kalu. Head coach Joe Judge mentioned when he spoke to the media on Tuesday that some of the players that are popping up on these lists were actually guys who were either exposed to COVID or tested positive for COVID before they got to training camp. So this wasn't a case of they just showed up and, oh, guess what? You have a negative test, so now you're going on the COVID list. This sounds like something that maybe the Giants were aware of that might have happened in the weeks leading up to training camp. And this is significant because in the case of Toney, for example, him coming off the list so quickly, while it's a good sign, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be thrown back out there right away and expected to go full blast. One of the things Joe Judge said about, you know, players that land on the COVID list is each guy is going to be treated differently. And by that, he meant that because COVID affects people in different ways, the expectation to just put a guy back out there on the field and expect him to be able to go 100 miles an hour just isn't realistic. So they're going to take each case on an individual basis. They're going to work guys back into the lineup once they are able to produce a negative COVID test and just see where it goes from there. So that is the COVID news. Now, also in other news, inside linebacker Reggie Ragland, who the Giants acquired in free agency this past offseason, he was placed on the non-football injury report with a hamstring injury. Now, for those not familiar with how NFI works, it works very similar to PUP, meaning that the player can come off NFI during training camp basically any time while the training camp period is still, you know, up and running. The difference between NFI and PUP is that with NFI, that means that the player suffered the injury away from the facility, whether it be working out on his own or whatever. So it's not a football-related injury. It doesn't count as a football-related injury. Only those who are maybe coming off of surgery, like, for example, Saquon Barkley, who, of course, tore his ACL and had surgery playing football, that does not count as an NFI. So therefore, Barkley, who is not yet able to pass a physical, he gets the PUP designation. And again, like NFI, the PUP folks can come off that list anytime while training camp is in progress. If they are still unable to pass a physical and they're on the PUP list, what happens is they get moved to the inactive PUP list, which means they have to sit out at least 3 weeks, I'm sorry, 6 weeks of the regular season. So little different rules once we get into the season. But as far as we know, based on what Joe Judge told us about the guys who are injured, it doesn't sound like any of the guys that are on the PUP list or on the NFI list are going to be on it past training camp. Now, we'll, of course, see what happens. But it does sound like at some point they expect to get everybody back. And we'll take it from there. They'll integrate them slowly into the mix. All right, Giant fans, coming up, we are going to take a look at the five things the New York Giants do not want to see happen in 2021. But first, get all the latest news, odds, info, and sign-up bonuses for all your sporting needs by heading over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. When you open an account and use our special promo code LOCKEDON, you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and we are going to move into the top five things that the New York Giants do not want to see happen in 2021. We're going to kick it off with item number five, and that is the same old offense. Now, I think we can all agree that last year, the Giants' offense wasn't as creative as maybe we thought it might be. And part of that, there's a number of reasons for that, I think. Number one, Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator, was coming in. And as much as I hate to use this as an excuse, I think it's very valid. The COVID-19 virus, the pandemic wiping out the offseason, the spring practices, the opportunity for the coaches to really get their eyes on the players and see what they were capable of doing within the planned offense. I think that was really huge for the Giants. Now, you probably are saying, well, for most of these players, there was a ton of film. Why couldn't Jason Garrett look at that film and, you know, make decisions and whatnot based on the film? And you're right, to a degree, that film did help. But when you're trying to put together a new system that is tailored to the players and what they do well and what they don't do well, sometimes you just need to see them, you know, running around out there. And I've mentioned many times before that the spring practices are a time for the coaches to experiment. So, for example, there might be a specific play or an alignment that they run and they look at the film later on and they say, you know what, this is something we can build on, or this is something we can tweak, or this isn't quite working because we don't have the personnel to run it the way we want to, or we need X, Y, and Z to happen before we can run it. So let's scrap it or put it on the shelf for now. And you see that a lot in football, you know, especially in the spring football practices, when it's a chance to get guys moving around, seeing how they, you know, are recovered from injury, have they lost a step, for example, if they're getting up there in age, any number of factors. So I kind of give Jason Garrett a pass for that. And again, I know everybody in the NFL had that problem, but not everybody had a brand new coaching staff coming in with a brand new system that the players had to learn. So that's where I kind of draw the line there, so to speak. The other thing that Jason Garrett had working against him, the offensive line was young and also not solidified. A lot of guys were in their positions for the first time. You know, Andrew Thomas, first-time NFL tackle. Nick Gates playing center live for the first time. Shane Lemieux eventually moving in there at left guard for the first time. So a lot of newness. And then, of course, you throw in the factor of Saquon Barkley and losing him for the entire season. You toss in that they lost Sterling Shepard, their best slot receiver, for four games, that Evan Engram had struggles, that the rest of the receivers have struggles. Darius Slayton wasn't himself. And you have a number of factors that I think forced Jason Garrett to scale back on what he might have been planning with the offense. So fast forward to 2021. The Giants now have Kenny Golladay. They have Kyle Rudolph. They're getting Saquon Barkley back at some point. They feel good about their offensive line. Daniel Jones feels more comfortable in year two of the offensive system. Basically, folks, there is no reason for this offense to look the way it did last year, which was basically lifeless and unimaginative. Jason Garrett, if he wants to, I believe, should be able to run more deep vertical routes. I think that offense should be a little bit more explosive, do a better job with time of possession, with moving the chains and all that good stuff. And folks, if the Giants don't, if what we see this year is the same old offense that we saw last year, then you know what? It's time for head coach Joe Judge to make a change, because there's just no excuse for that. I mean, actually, barring injuries wiping out key players on offense, there is no excuse for the offense to look as lethargic and as unimaginative and uncreative as it did last year. None. And I didn't even mention the fact that Freddie Kitchens has been moved to a senior offensive assistant, and he's going to probably have his fingers in the offensive game plan a little bit more. So really, the Giants offense, I think, is set up to really take off this year, assuming that they don't get torn apart by injuries. So that's number five on my list of five things the Giants do not want to see happen next year. Number four, the defense doesn't improve. Now, this defense, this Giants defense under Patrick Graham, didn't quite have the same problems that Jason Garrett had with the offense. And part of that is because the Giants defense, they had a little bit more in terms of experienced players. They weren't as young as I think on offense. So Patrick Graham, you know, you take that with Patrick Graham's creativity, and lo and behold, he was somehow able to mold that defense into a unit that finished 12th overall in the NFL. So not quite a disaster season. In fact, you could say it was a bit of a surprise, because let's face it, who amongst us thought that the Giants defense would finish that high? I know I didn't. I had my doubts, but top 12, that's not too bad, all things considered. Now, the Giants, of course, they added Adoree Jackson, Aaron Robinson, several other players. You know, they lost Dalvin Tomlinson, I get it, but they think they can get by with Danny Shelton and Austin Johnson and B.J. Hill in that role. So the goal for the Giants defense this year is to become a top 10 unit. And heck, why stop at top 10? Become a top 5 unit if you can. That is the goal. I can tell you that for a fact. Anything short of them reaching that goal, not good. Now, it's not going to be disastrous necessarily, especially if the Giants, if they finish, say, for example, a top 15 defense again, and they still win, and they have a winning record and make the playoffs, okay, then maybe that can be forgiven if they're not a top 10 or top 5 unit. But I know that's the goal that the players have. And anything short of that, I think, will be a disappointment for the players who have been really working hard to make that happen. So that's number four on my list of five things the Giants don't want to see happen in 2021. What are numbers 1, 2, and 3? Well, stick around to find out, folks. I'll tell you what they are. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar, which is a healthy, low-carb, low-sugar, and high-protein treat that will satisfy your sweet tooth. Choose from 9 amazing flavors, plus the occasional limited-time offering available in nut and nut-free varieties. Visit BuiltBar.com and get 15% off your first order with the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com for 15% off your first order. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here, and we are counting down the top 5 things the New York Giants probably don't want to see happen in 2021, because quite frankly, that would spell disaster if it did, or at least most of them would. All right, what is next on our list? We have 3 to go, and I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley having a setback. Now, thus far, the Giants have been very slow. They've been very deliberate in how they are bringing Saquon Barkley back from ACL surgery. And head coach Joe Judge has not attached a day when we might anticipate Barkley back. Barkley, by the way, is on the PUP list, as I mentioned at the top of the program. And Barkley has also not mentioned a time frame as to when he anticipates he will be back. Now, I know the NFL Network had a report that there is growing optimism that Barkley will be available for week 1. Folks, I believe that's a matter of semantics, because here's the thing. The Giants, in order to have Barkley for the beginning part of the season, they're going to have to at some point take him off of the PUP list. All right, that's going to have to be done before the 53-man roster, or the initial 53-man roster, I should say, is finalized. All right, so once that's done, then Barkley needs to be on the initial 53-man roster, especially if there are any thoughts, and I don't think there are, but in case they feel Barkley needs a little bit more time. But here's what I believe is the plan regarding Barkley. I think it's a two-part plan. Number one, why tip the Broncos off now, the Broncos being the Giants' week one opponent? Why give them any kind of hint as to whether Barkley may or may not play in week one? All right. I personally think I would be surprised if Barkley is active for week one. I think I could see him potentially being active maybe for week two, and only in a limited role. And I think even if he is active on week one, you definitely will not see him get his normal workload. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening really for the first maybe 4 weeks of the season. Because again, the Giants and head coach Joe Judge has said this in particular several times. They want to slowly bring Barkley back. They don't want to rush him and, God forbid, risk his long-term health and his long-term productivity, because they're not helping him and they're not helping the team if they rush to get him back on the field. And, you know, listen, while every game is important, while you want to win every game, if they need to get by without Barkley for that first game against the Broncos, who are an AFC team, it's probably not the end of the world for the Giants if they have to sit Barkley down or make him inactive or whatever. But to be clear, I do think Barkley is going to be on the roster. I mean, that much we can pretty much say, but I'm not so sure if he's going to be active. And if he is active week one, I don't see him getting a whole lot of touches and a whole lot of snaps. I'd just be stunned if they go and do that. I think Joe Judge learned his lesson from what happened with Daniel Jones last year, with letting him rush back, and only to see that Jones wasn't able to defend himself and function out there, and he ended up getting hurt worse. But anyway, the bigger picture is the worst thing the Giants don't want to see happen is for Barkley to have a setback, and they are doing everything in their power to make sure that doesn't happen. Because, you know, I mentioned in the last segment that one of the things that the Giants don't want to see happen is the same old offense. Well, a healthy Saquon Barkley will ensure that they don't have the same old boring and unimaginative offense. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Item number two, Daniel Jones not taking that big leap forward that everyone is expecting him to take. I know some people have compared it to Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, but look, Daniel Jones has to take a leap forward that fits him. He can't necessarily duplicate the stats and production of a Josh Allen or a Pat Mahomes even. He has to do it within the confines and the parameters of the Giants offense and within his skill set. But that being said, obviously the production has to be better. Now, people will point to the moves the Giants made in the offseason, how they brought in Kenny Golladay and Kyle Rudolph, how the offensive line may or may not be better, how Saquon Barkley, once he returns, is going to make a difference, all that good stuff. But as I've been saying on this program, every time I've basically talked about Daniel Jones and the problems he's had in the past, the biggest thing with Daniel Jones is twofold. Number one, you watch him on film, and you still see a lot of hesitation in his game. And how much of that is a result of being in different offensive systems? Because remember, last year in Jason Garrett's system, it was a lot different than what Jones ran as a rookie under Pat Shurmur. So this year, the expectation by the Giants, and I think this is reasonable, is that this is year two for Daniel Jones in the same offensive system, something he hasn't had, like I said, in since his Duke days, really. So there should be no reason for him to play slowly or to play cautiously. Presumably, he knows this offense inside and out. So the big thing you want to see from Daniel Jones, besides, of course, not as many turnovers as he's had in the past, you want to see him decide where to go with the ball, make quicker decisions, make the right decisions, and above all, not get fooled by disguised defenses. And I think if the Giants don't get that out of Daniel Jones, it won't matter who the offensive line is. It won't matter who the skill position players are. If he plays with any hesitation to his game, that's not going to be a good thing. And Jones is just not going to take that big step forward that the team is hoping that he takes. All right, folks, you know what's coming next. Number one on the list, the offensive line. The Giants do not want to be wrong about the offensive line. And look, they have been very bullish on the offensive line. Dave Gettleman has spoken about his expectations that the line will be better. Joe Judge has spoken about it. Everybody with the organization basically believes that the offensive line will be better. Now, if you heard yesterday's program, I had Joe Judge on the program. I did an exclusive interview with him last Friday, and I asked him about that. I said, what's driving the confidence behind the offensive line, considering these guys haven't put the pads on, they haven't hit anybody, they haven't engaged in any kind of live contact whatsoever? Why is there such high confidence? And Judge basically said, it's because of how we work. I like how we as a unit work. So in thinking about that, here's what I came up with regarding the offensive line. The Giants, instead of pouring a lot of resources into the players, and I know a lot of people, including myself, wanted to see the Giants draft somebody. But they were of the opinion, apparently, that there was nobody in the draft that was going to be better at this point than the guys that they had, given the, you know, the time that these guys had put in. So the Giants instead invested in coaching resources. They added Rob Sale as the main offensive line coach. Pat Flaherty is back. And as I mentioned, Freddie Kitchens is now more of a senior consultant. And Joe Judge, when asked about allocating his coaching staff, basically said he leaves that up to the coordinators, but if there's something specific he wants to see, then he'll go over and he'll, you know, interject his opinion as to what he wants to see and why he wants to see it. But I just get the impression that, you know, the Giants feel that with all the coaching resources they have added to the offensive line, that they feel that that unit is going to be significantly better. And you know what? They need that unit to be better because, you know, I mentioned Daniel Jones in the last item and how Daniel Jones needs to do his part with speeding up his decision-making process. Well, if he doesn't have protection, sufficient protection, and by that I mean about 2.5 seconds to drop back, make his reads, and get the ball out of his hands, then it doesn't matter. You can talk about progress, and I think it just goes hand in hand with Daniel Jones and the offensive line. They're kind of married to each other in that they need each other to expedite quickly and to, you know, get the job done. You know, in Daniel Jones's case, he can't hold the ball forever because an offensive lineman can't be expected to hold his block indefinitely. Likewise, Jones needs enough time to get himself dropped back, get himself set, and make the play that he needs to make. If those things aren't happening, then this offense is not going anywhere. So yes, the two things are married together, but in terms of the offensive line, you know, the concerns there are simple. You have Andrew Thomas, Shane Lemieux, Nick Gates, all returning in year two of their positions. Over on the other side, the right side, Matt Peart, who currently is on PUP, and you know he's not expected to be on PUP for a long period of time, but every day he misses practice, that's valuable reps he's missing. All right, so for the time being, Nate Solder figures to be the right tackle over there. A position, by the way, that Nate Solder hasn't played since his rookie season. Now, I know he's been working at that during the spring, and, you know, it's not like the position is completely foreign to him, but still, there is a transition period involved, just as there will be a transition period involved for Will Hernandez, who is making the switch from left guard to right guard. So there's a lot of question marks there. And again, until the pads go on the offensive linemen and they start engaging in live contact drills, we don't know if this, you know, optimism that the Giants have, if it's justified. So for their sake, It better be, because they cannot afford to have this offensive line be the 32nd ranked offensive line as they were for Pro Football Focus once again this season. I mean, the season is just too valuable and a lot is riding on it, starting with that offensive line. All right, folks, there you have it. My list of five things that the Giants absolutely positively do not want to see happen. There's probably more that we could talk about, but those are the five pressing ones that certainly come to mind. And folks, with football season coming up just around the corner, really, don't forget to check out the Locked On Bets podcast, where you'll get all the latest news, odds, and whatnot from the hosts over there. That program is sponsored by our friends over at Bet Online. So check that podcast out if you get a chance, available wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow to the Locked On Giants podcast. The Giants will hit the field for their first practice. Now, it will not be a padded practice, so there will only be, you know, so much you can tell by watching the practice, but I'll be there and I will give you whatever observations I am allowed to pass along according to the media rules. So hope you'll tune in to tomorrow's Locked On Giants podcast. Until then, folks, have a wonderful day and we'll talk to you soon.